Well, a little bit of an update from the camp. We'll have a few pictures kind of scrolling behind me. Just to let you know what we did this past summer. This is, of course, our second summer. When I tell people, you know, how big are you? Well, we can hold 40 people in a week. And when the Lord fills those up, we're going to grow past that. But until then, we're going to keep plucking away and being faithful with what he has given us. And the Lord has gave us 4 great weeks this last summer. 2 junior weeks, 2 teen weeks. We saw salvations, assurance of salvations. We saw decisions made to serve the Lord and surrender to serve him. And a great passion for studying the Bible. Times of Bible study when they would be searching through a concordance and asking for better understanding on a word, and it was just exciting. We had a great opportunity with our teen campers. You can see there, they're underneath a vehicle. We did some practical training on how to change your oil, how to change a tire, how to help someone if their battery is dead, or if your battery is dead, and how to do that. And so girls and guys alike helped us with that. And we had many, even that are here tonight. I see Derek. I don't want to call people out, but Delilah and Aubrey. And if I don't see you, if you were also working at summer camp this summer, we loved all of our summer staff helping us with everything from archery to counseling to in the kitchen. And it was just a great, great summer. We wanted to thank you, Worth Baptist Church family, for supporting the camp every month. For sending campers, for sending wives, for sending your husbands to man camp starts tomorrow. We have events happening all around the year. You can stop by the table. We have a prayer list. You can be kept in the loop with what's going on at the camp. You can also see upcoming events. Prayer need. If you could pray for 2 things. Number one, for our summer staff for next summer. We want who the Lord wants there, and the Lord will build that together as we're going out. Pray for safety, pray for wisdom, and that the Lord would be to bring the right people for summer 2024. And then we're praying that the Lord would allow us to be debt-free in 2023, not just because it rhymes, although that is a great reason, but because we want to be debt-free. We have $53,000 left on the debt of the property. All of the buildings are paid for, all of the equipment, everything is paid for except the property that we sit on. And we want to get that taken care of. And so you pray with us. We know the Lord will meet that need in his time, and we're just going to be faithful, continue to move forward. And if the Lord allows it, we will praise him for it. And if he says not yet, we'll praise him for it anyway. And we'll keep paying off that debt. So we're so thankful. I know Dad leads the debt-free group there with Dave Ramsey, and we want to do our own debt-free scream as a camp. We're debt-free, and it's going to be amazing. But thank you so much for your prayer for Camp Liberty. Well, I trust you have your Bible this evening. Would you open it to Ephesians chapter number 3? Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 14, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and we will read through verse 21. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all God's people said, amen. Heavenly Father, I ask as we come to your word that we would see that it's all about you. We can't comprehend it on our own. Lord, we need your power. We need your strength. Lord, already has been prayed. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to move, to guide us into all truth. Lord, as we open your word and we read from it, we know that your work will be accomplished as your Holy Spirit works in us. Lord, help us to move ourselves out of the way. Lord, I pray that I would not say anything that would distract, but only would point to you. Help me, help my words. And Lord, we thank you for your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul gives us a prayer here in Ephesians chapter 3. We've come right smack dab in the middle of the book of Ephesians. And it's a great prayer to model after. When you think of, he has given instruction. He is going to continue to give instruction if you continue reading 4, 5, and 6 on how to live this life, how to live with a husband and a wife and with your children and at work and in the church. And he prays for them because I can give instruction and instruction and instruction, but without the power of God, without prayer, it won't get accomplished. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And Paul is on his knees and he's telling this church family, I'm praying for you, and here's what I'm praying. So when we pray, a lot of times we'll pray for physical needs. You don't find that listed here in Paul's prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for physical needs. We have a life, and we want to enjoy it. We don't want to be hurting. And out of Christian love for one another, and I appreciate Christian love for me, and if I'm hurting, you would pray for me. But more importantly than my physical body is my spiritual, my inner man. And that's what we read about here, that Paul is praying for their inner man. Paul is a prisoner. He's in chains. He's not praying for release. He's not praying for freedom. He is praying for this church's inner man to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, according to the Holy Spirit's power and his grace. Paul, in this prayer, is clear that our strength isn't derived from ourself or self-will or some conference that we go to get hyped up, and it's not about any of that. It's not something we can perform. It's something that God performs in us when we're filled with his Holy Spirit and we comprehend and grasp his love for ourselves, not just heard it or taught it or preached it, but experienced it. Well, a little context into the book of Ephesians as we find ourselves right in the middle of it. He says at the very beginning of where we started, for this cause, in verse 14, for this cause, which begs the question, for what cause? What in the world is happening? Why is he writing? Why is he bowing on his knees and praying? And you would think, well, I'll just go just a few verses prior, which you normally would, but go to chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul. So he's still saying, for this cause. He, like me, will start, and he says something else, and then he's coming back to it. So we need to go a little bit farther back to chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 18 of chapter 2. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all things the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Who you used to be is not true anymore. Ye are being put together in Christ. You're not Jew and Greek. You're one family. And you get the sense of that in verse number 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says, look, I'm praying to the Lord. I'm on my knees for the reason that you are all part of the family now, in whom we have, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's all because I want you to know Jesus. I want you, verse 16, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's why he's praying, that you would be strengthened. Paul is praying for this church family that was made up of a very diverse group to be strengthened together. To do it in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own might, it would fail. But not when you're rooted in Christ. He wants this church to be strong. Not strong in a physical sense, but strong in a spiritual sense. Their inner man, the part that God sees, who they really are. And I think that would be our prayer for our church. It's that we wouldn't be strong in numbers. We would be strong in our inner man. Because that's what God will use. He will use a church that is able to be used. So then how are we strengthened in the inner man? Paul gives us two requests, two petitions that answer that question. Verse number 17. Request number one, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, Paul is writing to Christians, to saved people. And he's saying, I want Christ to dwell in your hearts. Now, I thought God did dwell in my heart. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. He's dwelling there. That word dwell, it means to take residence. He lives there. When you live somewhere, you can tell you live there. I have four girls. Their fingerprints are all over the house, literally and figuratively. I have a 9-month-old, almost 10-month-old. I have a 3-year-old, and their fingers are all over the TV. They're all over the glass that we constantly have to clean. Their fingerprints are everywhere. Our family's fingerprints are on the house as we put furniture where we want it. We got rid of some old things. As we've moved, we've been in a lot of different houses, but we make them our home. We make it suitable for us to live in, to fit and meet our needs, what we want to use it for, suitable for our use. Has God taken up residence in you? Does he dwell in you? Are his fingerprints, Corey, are his fingerprints on my life? Has he thrown some furniture out and put the pieces in place that he wants there so that I can be fit for his use? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. They're chucked out the back. Or if you're a Texan, they're chunked out the back. Behold, all things are become new. Paul had this prayer for the church in Galatia in chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19. He was pleading with the church that it wouldn't just be zealous when he was around, but if you'd go there, Galatians 4, 18 and 19, see it for yourself. Verse 19, he tells them, Galatians 4, 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So I'm not going to let this go, Galatian church, until Christ be formed in you. There needs to be transformation. And that's what he's talking about here. That it's not just salvation, Christ dwelling in you, but you would be transformed. You would be changed. You would be different. Back in Ephesians, immediately following this prayer, verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You see, you fit the pieces together. If you want to walk worthy, you must allow Christ to dwell in you. Live there. Change you. Change the things that who you used to be. You don't do them anymore, Gentile or Jew. God is your father now. Do you know him? Well, I know him. Does he dwell in your heart? by faith. And it says being rooted and grounded in love. Do the roots go deep? Are you firm in the love of God? Not your love for God, but God's love for you. Do you know how much God loves you? The Ephesians were reminded just the previous chapter, and even at the very beginning of Ephesians, he tells them that before the world, before the foundation of the world, God chose you. He loves you. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he loves you. Insert your name there. He loves you. If you know salvation, you know how much he loves you. You know what he had to forgive. You know what he had to endure for you and for me. Do you comprehend the measureless love of Christ? Look at verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Comprehend. This really is the goal I have for my kids. I want them to comprehend things. When we teach them in school, I don't want them to just get the answer right. I want them to know why they get the answer right, how to get the answer right. And you take that from school and into the Christian life. I want them to go to the Word of God and know, how to find truth, how to discern right and wrong. This is how we mature. Physically, this is how we mature, by learning from doing not so smart of things when we were young. And then we start to comprehend that I can't do the things that I used to do or I will hurt myself. I've been exercising and stretching, and I find myself, I need to stretch more than I need to exercise, because if I exercise before I stretch, I get hurt. I've been taking some notes from Tony on stretching. A guy loves to stretch, and now I know why. As you get older, you need to stretch. Hey, if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to comprehend for yourself the measureless love of God. How do you measure it? Well, Paul says you need to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. How can we measure the love of God? There's a song I'm sure you know well. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure, the saints and angels sing. He's the highest of the highest. He's taken our sins and separated them as far as the east is from the west. You cannot go to the expanse of his love and his forgiveness. You cannot go to the heights where he is. You can't go to the depths of the sea that he has buried our sin in. All of the book of Ephesians kind of tilts upon this part of the prayer. In Ephesians 1, we hear that God chose you. God loves you. The power that resurrected Christ from the grave, you have that power. He wants you to know you have that power. In chapter 2, he tells us, but it's not by your goodness, it's not by your works, it's for by grace are ye saved through faith. Past this prayer in chapter 4, we find that you need to walk in unity with the body of Christ, being renewed, putting away the old man. In chapter 5, redeeming the time, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In your marriage relationship, that you would follow after Jesus' example, loving your wife, submitting to your husband, that children would obey their parents, that parents would love and nurture their children, guide them to the Lord, that whether you're an employer or an employee, you would be diligent and godly in your work. You see, this is not just about some spiritual thing that happens on Sunday or something that happens in private. This is life. And you must make time for it. We'll make time for our physical well-being. We'll make sure we eat physically because we want to be sustained physically. But this physical body, when it's gone, there is something that is left. and it's the inner man. Is it starving? Or is it strong? Lay a hold of the love of God for yourself. Know it. When you're in the depths of despair, where do you turn? Turn to the love of God. When you're depressed, where do you turn? Some book besides the Bible? Some YouTube channel? When you have questions, where do you turn? Can I just be honest? I struggle with that. I get anxious. I get nervous. I want answers, and I want them now. And sometimes God doesn't answer the way I want, and so I go other places. Can I tell you, that's not the right place to go? And you won't find satisfaction there. You won't find the answers there. And you won't comprehend the love of God by going to those other places. Go to the Lord first. He is the Most High. He has forgiven us. He loves us. How much? It's immeasurable. It's beyond our capacity to know. Which brings us to our second request that Paul gives. How are we to be strengthened in our inner man? Well, Christ needs to make his home in your life. Make you new. But number two, verse number 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. But wait a second. He just said, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. To quote my favorite Sicilian, inconceivable. How in the world am I supposed to know something that is beyond, it goes past knowledge? Very simply, it's just experience. It's one thing to, we had a great illustration of this a few Sunday nights ago about a chair. Do I trust that that chair will hold me? Well, yeah, sure, I trust that. I sat in it earlier, but do I trust right now? Well, yeah, but I have to prove it. We went to South Africa several years ago, and they were jumping off bridges. And they were like, hey, we should go do that. And I was like, yeah, totally. And it was a great idea until I got harnessed up, and they were like, okay, jump. I mean, I had seen everyone else jump, and it was holding them. I had faith this would hold me, kind of. But there's something that happens when you get to the edge of several hundred foot bridge, and then your body is like, this is stupid. You should not jump. Do not do this. It's like, but I have, where the rubber meets the road is in the jump. I'm trusting, I'm jumping, I'm leaping, I'm leaving behind the safety, the somewhat relative safety of that bridge, and I'm jumping. I think sometimes we hold on to things that are comfortable and we miss out on knowing the love of God. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We pray for comfort. We pray for, Lord, be with. He is with you, even unto the end of the world. Lord, strengthen my inner man might mean there's some trials, there's some valleys that he's going to bring you through to test you so that you will be able to take that jump, take that leap. See, knowing it doesn't mean you're mature. Knowing that that's going to hold me doesn't mean that I'm mature. Knowing that God loves me doesn't mean I have knowledge. I haven't experienced it. I might know about it. I've heard sermons about it. I've listened to podcasts about it. I know the gospel. Just like knowing the gospel doesn't save you. Knowing about the love of God doesn't mean you've experienced it for yourself, that you haven't run to him in your deepest hour of despair and on the mountain peak, praising him and knowing his love and thanking him for his goodness. I'm glad that he doesn't give out of his riches, but according to them. Look back at verse number 16. In Paul's prayer, he's asking that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Not out of. There's a big difference there. If I was a billionaire, which I am not, and I gave you out of my riches, I could give you $100. And that's out of my riches. It's out of my billions and billions, here's $100. And cool, thank you. If I gave according to my riches, or in proportion to my riches, I would give millions. There's a difference. We've just established that God's love and his power are beyond fathom, immeasurable, unknowable. What's proportionate to that? Not out of. If it was out of, we'd be grateful to be forgiven of one sin. That's more than we're worthy of. But out of his grace, out of his love for us, it's limitless. He says in verse number 18 that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are we controlled by the Holy Spirit? It's where the power comes from. As we open the Word of God, he guides us into all truth. You want power in your life? You need the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You must have, if you're saved, you have access. You have the power. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 19, just a page turn away. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power we're talking about. The power of the resurrection of Christ. You have access to that power. There's no secret like key that you have to find. You don't have to reach a certain level of spirituality. You just need to know the love of God. Let him dwell in you. Be not controlled with wine. Ephesians 5:18 gives us a great wealth of understanding in this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let it have control. For what purpose? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things. Hey, it's not just for your sake, but for the sake of those that you're living life with, those who are around you, submitting one to another. It's not done in your own strength. It's done by submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. It's not according to your power either, but according to his. The Holy Spirit teaches us. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 13, how he teaches us and opens our eyes and to understanding. Don't just open your Bible and read. We know to read. Truly meditate on the Word of God. Praying, asking the Lord, taking time, Lord, open my eyes that I might see what you have for me. What Paul is saying is experience it. Don't just live it. Don't just walk and make the outside look right. Make sure God is dwelling in you and know the love of Christ. Paul gives this praise, this song of praise at the end, this doxology. And he says, now unto him that is able, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen to the progression there. You can say, he's able to do. Not only is he able to do, he's able to do all. He's able to do abundantly above all. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Super abundant. There's nothing he can't do. So you might in your mind, well, I'm going to pray. I'm not really sure how God's going to do that. Don't worry, it's because it's not according to your power, but according to his. It's not out of his power or yours. It's according to his. And this is his prayer. Be strengthened in your inner man. No, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it. No. You're not going to do any of it. You're going to rely and let God dwell in you. You're going to submit to the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, you're going to be like a drunk person who just lets the alcohol. You're going to let the Holy Spirit do that instead. And you're going to trust him because you know he loves you. How do you know he loves you? Because you used to be dead in trespasses and sin. And you want to live a life that's where you're a father or a mother with a family serving the Lord. You're in a local church and you're edifying your brothers. You know how you can do that? Not according to your power, but according to his. You can go beyond anything you can imagine or you can think only because of the Holy Spirit. Paul saves the real good stuff for Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to bring all the thought process together. Ephesians chapter 6. You will know these verses very well. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's not talking about your outer man. He's still talking about the inner man. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is a spiritual battle, not a physical one. That's why the focus is on your spiritual man, your inner man, the spiritual walk. And we have to look at the pieces of this armor. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. He wants you to comprehend, know the truth. Wear it like a belt, holding everything together. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Living a holy life that would be pleasing to God. That would protect you, your body, yes, and protect the inner man. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what that word, shod, it means rooted. Having a firm foundation. Didn't we read about that in Paul's prayer? That you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. What's the love of God shown to us? It's the gospel. That we would take the shield of faith. Our faith is not in our ability to wield any of these instruments of war, but it's to hide behind the faith we have in Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That shield of faith is our protection. According to his power. Take the helmet of salvation. Put it on your head. Protecting your mind from the lies of Satan that you're not one of God's children. You're not really saved. Oh, yes, I am. I'm a child of the King. You've sinned too much. No, I haven't. I know the depth and the width and the height of the love of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It cuts. It's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knows the inner man. And finally, verse 18. What Paul was doing for this church and what we need to be doing for one another, pray. with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How do you strengthen the inner man? Christ dwelling in you, knowing the love of God, having the full armor, knowing that it's not you, it's Him in you, praying, asking the Lord for the strength, asking the Lord, when you're praying for those who are hurting, that the Lord would strengthen their inner man. Many times when we pray, we focus on the outward, but Paul shows us that we ought to be concerned about the inner man, because one day that's all that will be left. Is there something you've not given Him control of? He doesn't dwell in you. You've been going through a valley and you've not run to the loving arms of God. How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to get it? That's more than I can do. That's more than I could ask. That's more than I could possibly even imagine or think of. Well, I've got good news for you. He's able to do above all. Exceeding, abundantly above all that you can ask or think. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Let's ask tonight for the Lord to strengthen our inner man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need you to dwell in us. Lord, help us not to rely on our own strength, but look to you for that strength. If there's someone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, don't have you dwelling in their heart, I pray that they would trust you as Savior today. Those of us who do know you and know your love for us, that we would go beyond knowledge, but we would experience it. We would run to you. We would rely on you. We would live for you. We wouldn't just be solely focused on the physical. Lord, as if this life is better than what you have in store for us. But Lord, we would focus on our inner man. For all these things, in Jesus' name, amen.